Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How many love the Lord? Say amen.
Amen.
How many love the Lord? Say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. My wife and myself, I'm Tony. My wife, Susan McCandless. Out in the foyer, we have some books and CDs and some things that we've brought. We want to help get the Word of God into you, as the Lord has put into our lives and our hearts and our ministry. And it also helps put some money into the ministry. We're full-time, and we have some other income opportunities. But it's good to be able to serve the Lord.
Yes.
And we thank God for those who God speaks to help us prayerfully, spiritually, financially. We thank God for our partners. And that does help put some money into the ministry. But more importantly, we want to help put the Word of God into you. So some books, tracts, CDs that are out there. And I know reading Pastor Eric's post, the Word of God is in this place.
Amen.
You have a pastor and a teacher and a preacher that puts the Word of God into this place. And that is what we need. We need to know how to pray, but the farmer who just waters his ground isn't going to get a harvest. Prayer is like water. Some people are praying and praying and praying, but until you have the seed, you're not going to have the harvest. Prayer is important. As important as prayer is, you still need the Word of God. And as important as water is, I mean, without water and without tending to the ground, the farmer won't get the harvest, but just watering isn't producing. He must have seed. And so we need the Word of God. He exalted His Word even above all His name.
Yes.
Yes.
And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God and His Word are one, and Jesus is the Word made flesh.
Amen.
And so He is upholding all things by the Word of His power. The importance of the Word of God. Jesus, even when He was tempted of the devil, He quoted the Bible.
That's right.
He didn't just say, "Well, I'm the Son of God, leave me alone, I rebuke you." He quoted the Bible. And if that's Jesus, that's the right example for us to follow.
Yeah.
Is quote the Bible. When you're under attack, quote the Bible. And so we want to help add to your faith and then bring this ministry, what God has put into our hearts. Because we're different. We're members of the body of Christ in particular. Not a one of us is the whole body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus on the earth was the whole body of Christ when He was on the earth. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And John 3:34 says He had the anointing without measure. He had the Spirit without measure. He had the entire Holy Ghost, entire anointing. And I believe the same anointing is on the same body, but He's the head and we're the body, and we have the anointing by measure. To one is given this, to another is given that. You're the body of Christ, members in particular, and God has set some in the church. And then 1 Corinthians 12 says, to one is given this, to another is given that. Because we're not the whole body, and so we have the anointing, the gifts, the manifestations, the abilities of God apportioned to us by measure.
Amen.
Because He's the whole body, but now He's the head and we're the body. Does that make sense to you? And so we need one another. Not a one of us has everything.
Come on.
Not a one of us has everything. And so what God has put into your pastor's heart and to the other ministers that are in the place, what God has put into your heart, your life, your ministry, then you need to, like the pastor said, teach people how to make a draw on the anointing. The Bible says in the Old Testament that wisdom is as deep waters. A man of understanding draws it out. And you can be that person of understanding. The wisdom can be in your midst, but sometimes it just won't even flow unless somebody is drawing it out.
Come on.
Can I have another amen?
Amen?
I remember a time where Jesus preached, and the Bible says that the presence of God, the Spirit of the Lord, was there to heal. But nobody got healed until they let somebody down through the roof. Four men let somebody down, a man who was sick of the palsy. The power of the Lord was present to heal, but nobody got healed.
Come on.
That's right.
In Luke chapter 5, the power of the Lord was present to heal, but nobody got healed. He preached the Word. And the power of the Lord was present to heal, but nobody got healed. There were doctors of the law there, Sadducees and Pharisees, and they were criticizing and scrutinizing what Jesus was saying. And nobody got healed until they let a man down through the roof. Jesus saw their faith. They got mad about it, and Jesus said after He healed him, go home. Get out of this place. I mean, if you stay around here, they'll talk you out of it.
That's right.
That's what he said after he healed them. They got mad at Jesus because he said, your sins are forgiven. Who is he that he can forgive sins? Well, whether is easier? To say, rise, take up your bed and walk? Or to say, man, your sins be forgiven thee? But so that you'll know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he turned and he saith to the man who was sick of the palsy, arise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately he was made whole. And then Jesus said, go and get out of here. Go home. And that was the man who got healed. Nobody else got healed, even though the power was there. And so you and I, we can make a demand, like Pastor has been saying, on the anointing, and it draws out. And so what ministers are in your midst, if you believe what they have, you'll receive what they have, and it'll flow to you and be a blessing to you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want you to open your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here this day. We thank you for the power of the Spirit of resurrection. We thank you that Jesus is alive. This is the day that we especially focus on that, but he was raised from the dead nearly 2,000 years ago. Maybe over 2,000 years ago now. He was already raised from the dead, and we celebrate that this, especially this day, but we thank you for the power of resurrection. We thank you for the power of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of resurrection that's in us today. The anointing of the Holy Ghost in us and upon us. Father, we thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the anointing. Everybody said out loud, thank you for the anointing. The anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing. I want the Word, but I want the Spirit also. I want the Word and the Spirit. I want the Word and the Spirit. Father, we give you the praise. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, writing upon the tables of men's hearts. Open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, that we would be attentive and receptive, but also doers of the Word and not hearers only. And we give you all of the praise for it in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 6, let's just jump right in. It says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. I like that phrase, if need be. Maybe you don't need to be. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. There are seasons as we follow God. I'm not talking about 3 months. But it's temporary. A season is temporary. One of the attributes of a season is that it is temporary. One season brings another season. Seasons change. Seasons move on, giving way to another season. There is another season that's coming. Seasons are temporary. That is one attribute of a season. If need be, you're in heaviness. So this season is one of heaviness. This season is one of manifold temptations or tests or trials. Does anybody know what he's talking about?
Yes.
Why is it? Why is it so? Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. In God's eyes, your faith being tried is more precious in God's eyes than gold. And gold has to be tested with fire to prove its purity. Your faith has to be tested. You may not enjoy that, but it has to be. And in God's eyes, it's precious. He wants to see you endure and win and continue. For if you'll continue, you'll reap, if you faint not. Don't be weary in well-doing, Galatians chapter 6 says. Don't be weary in well-doing. So you're doing everything you know to do, and you can get tired. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There can be a test, there can be adversity, there can be contrary storms. And I know we're taught in some circles that you're always supposed to smile and have a good confession And I believe that your words are powerful and your words are important. But when Jesus was on the cross,
come on now.
I don't believe he had a smile on his face. But I'm going to show you in a moment in Hebrews chapter 12, it says he had joy in his heart.
Yes.
And in the hard place, in the trial, the test, the adversity, the storms of life, you can have joy in your heart even though you're in heaviness through manifold temptations.
Come on.
There can be joy in your heart. And you can tap into that joy. Why? Because the trying of your faith. James chapter 1 says it works patience. Didn't say it gives you patience. You hear people say, well, you know, it'll give you patience. You better already have it. In fact, it is a fruit of the Spirit, and it is to be developed. But it puts it to work. The trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, so that you can be complete, perfect, entire, wanting nothing. You won't want it because you'll have it. That's what patience will do for you. The trying of your faith is going to produce results, but now you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. And it's all right to say to yourself, I'm going through a hard place right now, but blessed be God, I'm going to endure. I'm going to continue. God's word is true. The season will change, and I have joy in my heart, and I can praise the Lord for what's coming.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you,
Jesus.
I want you to turn also to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Is this all right this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In our lives, in our ministry, I preach and I teach and I travel, and we've been in what you might call a healing ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 says, God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings. And God set some in the church. So he's talking about ministries. Every believer can lay hands on the sick. Every believer can do that. How many say amen?
Amen.
Every believer can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. But God has set in the church ministry gifts. Those who are especially used, especially called in a certain way. Not everybody's an apostle. In fact, it goes on in verse 29 and it says, are all apostles? And the answer is no. Are all prophets? The answer is no. And the answer to every one of those questions is no. Do all have gifts of healings? The answer is no. As a ministry, every believer can lay hands on the sick, but that's not the same as a ministry.
That's right.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Those who, like you may have a hammer, but that doesn't make you a carpenter.
Right.
Just because you own a hammer. You may own the same hammer, the same weight. Maybe you bought it at the same place as the carpenter. But he would use his a little more often than you use yours. And he may even be better at it. I don't know. But the hammer is a part of who he is and what he does. Even though everybody can own a hammer, there are some who are especially using it more often. And every believer can lay hands on the sick, and every child of God can pray. But God, verse 28, 1 Corinthians 12, 28, God has set some, this is God's idea. God has set some in the church. And are all apostles? Well, he set them in the church, but not everyone is. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? And then it goes on, are all workers of miracles? That is, as a ministry gift. Do all have gifts of healings? As a ministry gift. In fact, it goes on and asks this, do all speak with tongues? And the answer is no, because the answer to all of those questions is no. But you have to qualify it. He's talking about ministry gifts as a ministry in the church. Now here's what some of our denominational brothers and sisters have missed. They'll use that verse sort of to choose, this is the reason why not everybody speaks in tongues. And yet it says, and Paul said, I would that you all spake with tongues.
Yes, he said it.
Amen.
I would that you all spake with tongues. So in your own personal, private prayer life, you can speak in tongues as a way to bless God, as a way to be edified. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. I don't know who fights that.
Right.
Why wouldn't you want to be edified?
Amen.
But he said in the church. Paul said in the church. He said in the church. I'd rather speak 5 words with my own voice so I can teach than 10,000 words in tongues, because I'm not edifying you if all I do is get up and speak in tongues. I'm edifying me, but I'm not edifying you. So he said in the church. Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you, But in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my own voice than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So he's talking about edifying people, and then he's talking about a ministry gift if somebody's going to speak in tongues. See, there's two kinds of tongues, the tongue to God and the tongue from God. Diverse kinds of tongues. There are diverse kinds, but all really are under those two categories.
Amen.
I mean, there's diverse kinds of tongues, but any kind of tongue you want to talk about, it's either from God or to God. It's either inspired by God or it's a prayer to God. Can I have an amen, somebody? Well, every child of God can pray, receive the Holy Ghost, and speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. Every child of God can do that. I think I fought it for years. I was a Quaker. And Quakers don't believe in it. And I fought it for years. I walked out of a service one time. Thank God nobody's walking out today. Hadn't yet, anyway. But I walked out of a church service one time when he got to preaching on it because I just didn't believe in it and I didn't want to believe in it. But thank God I finally yielded and received something that blessed me. Hallelujah. And that's been a blessing to my spiritual life ever since. I wish I'd yielded years earlier. Amen. Because it edifies. To speak in tongues to God edifies.
Amen.
But to speak out loud to the church, nobody knows what's said unless there's an interpretation. Is that right? So Paul said, if somebody speaks out and there's no interpreter, then go ahead and keep quiet. Speak to yourself and God. If there's no interpreter, and if you feel like you have that gift, pray that there be an interpretation. Pray that you can interpret. But not everybody has that. As a message from God to the church, as a ministry, not everybody has that.
Amen.
So in 1 Corinthians 12:29, when it says, do all speak with tongues, it's talking about as a ministry. Everybody say, as a ministry.
As a ministry.
To speak in tongues as a message from God to the church where it would have interpretation or we don't even know what was said, not everybody's going to do that. Do all speak with tongues? The answer is no. Can all speak in tongues to God as a prayer to God? Yes. But as a ministry to the church? Are all apostles as a ministry? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers as a ministry? You can share what you know, but that doesn't make you in the office of a teacher.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen? So are all teachers as a ministry? The answer is no. Are all workers of miracles? Well, you can pray and get a miracle, but that's not the same as having that as a ministry. Do all have gifts of healings as a ministry? The answer is no. Though all can pray for people and lay hands on the sick. Well, in my life, there are gifts of healings as a ministry. And if I would teach on it more, and very often the first time I go somewhere, that is what I teach on. I'm going to go a little different direction this morning. I'm touching on it, though, because I want to follow the leading of the Lord. And if there are people here that need prayer for healing, I want to minister to you. And I want you to believe for a special anointing. Pastor Eric and other ministers here can pray for you. And we don't want to undo anybody's prayer. We want to add to the prayer. Amen. We want to add to the anointing.
Amen.
But I want you to believe that you're receiving a healing anointing. When I pray, if I pray, if you are here with that need, God wants to meet the need. He wants you well. He wants you healed. He wants you whole. Amen. Can I have an amen, somebody?
Amen.
We have seen time and time again tremendous works of God, tremendous miracles, but we also see things that are progressive. Jesus said, you can bind, you can loose, you can curse, you can speak. Jesus said, if you bind, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Did he say that?
Yes.
Jesus said, whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Did he say that?
Yes.
Did he say you could speak to the mountain?
Yep.
Did he curse the fig tree and then tell his disciples you could have done this?
Yep.
Is that true? Did he say in Luke chapter 17 that you can speak to the sycamine tree and it would obey you?
Yep.
Did he say that you could speak to the fig tree, the sycamine tree, the mountain, and it would obey you? Is that what he said?
Yep.
Well, he also said faith is as a seed, and it's like a seed that's planted in the earth, and it springs and grows up. He knows not how. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And when you put it in the ground and cover it over with dirt, you don't see anything. But you can believe you have something planted and that it's coming.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Is that right?
That is right.
In fact, in the natural, we talk that way. We say, I've got corn. And people look and they don't see anything except dirt.
Yep.
Abraham called those things which be not as though they were. It's all right to do that. We do it in the natural. I've got corn. People say, I don't see anything, but you know you planted it and you know it's coming. You can't eat it yet. So if you've planted healing, maybe you need to take your medicine for a while, but thank God it's temporary. Because you have healing coming, because you've planted it and it's there. I've got it and it's coming. I've got it and it's coming. I have it now. I'm not trying to get it. I have it now, but it's coming. Into fruition, into manifestation. And we just live our lives that way. A lot of the healings in my own life are not instant. I pray for other people and see instant healings and instant miracles. That in my own life, a lot of the things are progressive. Let me tell one quick story, then I want to get to... Where did I have you turn?
Corinthians 4.
2 Corinthians 4. We'll get there in a moment. But not too long ago... several months ago is when it started. I came out of the shower and my wife saw something on my back and she said, "What is that?" And I heard fear in her voice. And so she was concerned about something and I said, "What?" And she said, "On your back." And it was an irregular shaped mole that was black. And years ago, she had a friend of hers, a very dear close friend of hers years ago, die of melanoma. That started just that way, an irregular shaped mole that was black. And that is, in the natural realm, that is a concern. And I could sense the fear. Well, I stretched and bent over and got to where I could see it. And then I said, "Oh, well, the first thing we'll deal with is the fear. Let's don't have any fear. We'll just resist that in Jesus' name." You have to resist fear. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
God's not given us the spirit of fear. But of power, love, and a sound mind. And the devil doesn't want you to know this, but fear will actually motivate him. Just like faith gets God involved. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. The Bible says faith is the evidence that we have what we do not see. But it's the actual substance with which God creates what it is you're praying for that you found in His Word that is a promise to you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. You're not out there in no man's land. You've got some foundation, some support. You're praying about something that you see in His Word as a promise to you. And as you read that Word and receive that Word, the faith that comes from the Word is the actual substance God uses to create it for you.
Amen.
Do you see that? The faith is the actual substance God uses to create it.
That's right.
And without the substance, He doesn't create it.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, amen.
But here's what the devil does not want you to know. Fear is the substance of things dreaded. Fear is the evidence of things not seen. And that's why the devil will talk to your head and try to get you to worry and worry and worry and worry about what's coming. He wants you to worry about what might happen because the doctor said this, or the banker said that, or you heard at the job, or they're laying off, or something's happening here and there. And so thoughts can bombard your mind to try to get you to worry about what has not happened because you see circumstances that cause you concern and alarm, and then you worry, worry, worry about what might happen, what could happen. It looks like it's going to happen. Instead of getting to the Word and find out what God has promised, the contrary, the promise that is the opposite, that is the reverse, that will actually stop what the devil is doing and create what God is doing. You don't want the fear to be the substance. You want the faith to be the substance, so you resist the fear and you fill your heart with God's Word.
Amen.
And you fill your mouth with God's Word. Amen. Can I have an amen, somebody?
Amen.
So the first thing I wanted to deal with was the fear. So I said, "Oh, honey, we resist that fear in Jesus' name. Don't you have a concern? Don't you have a worry?" I don't mean a concern that a spiritual concern you pray about. A natural concern you worry about. That's what I meant. I'll curse that in Jesus' name and it'll die. I'll curse that in Jesus' name. It'll go. I'll just curse that in Jesus' name. Well, I've had experience doing that. I've seen it work. I had one situation where it took a year. But I spoke to it every day and told it had been cursed. My mother asked me to pray about some growths on her, and I cursed those, and it took 3 years. And I asked her what she did those 3 years. Did you talk to them every day? And she said, I don't suppose I did every day, but every 2 or 3 days. Some days I did it lots of times, but I might miss a day or two, but every 2 or 3 days, every 2 or 3 days for 3 years. She was saying, you can't stay on my body, you've been cursed. You can't stay on my body, you've been cursed. You can't stay on my body, you've been cursed. So I spoke to this, I got to where I could see it, this mole that was black and irregular shape. I spoke to it, in the name of Jesus, I curse this growth and command it to die. It cannot stay on my body. I curse it in Jesus' name. Father, we praise you. We thank you for your promise. You said whatever we bind is bound. You said whatever we curse, whatever we speak to, that we can speak to the mountain, to the fig tree, to the sycamine tree. Thank you, Father, for the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you for being the one who stands behind it. Whatever you bind it on earth is bound in heaven. See, earth binds it. Heaven backs it.
Amen.
You're not the one that backs it. In fact, you can't make a growth leave on your own. But you can curse it in Jesus' name, and Jesus said, I'll back it. Use my name, and I'll back it. It'll be just like I'm there. Where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I to make it good. And it took 6 months. Well, 3 days later, it was no longer black, it was brown. And then it started to go down a little bit. And I every day, I didn't miss a day, every day. I mean, how important is your garden? If you're sowing seed in the ground, you need to tend to it every few days. You don't walk away and leave it for months. What happens if you walk away and leave it for months? I said, what happens?
It's full of weeds.
It gets full of weeds. So you don't get a harvest. Even though it's good seed and good ground, if you just walk away and forget it, you don't get a harvest. That's why people need to be taught to continue. You can come to church and hear the Word of God and receive it with gladness. And then something happened. There can be storms of life. There can be, the Bible says that they receive the Word with gladness. But then when affliction and persecution ariseth for the Word's sake, immediately they're offended.
Come on.
Pastor, that ever happened to anybody? They come in and they hear the Word of God and then trouble hits. Mm-hmm. And they get offended at the message, get offended at the messenger. And get mad and leave, and you don't see them anymore. And you know that they need to continue, they need to endure, they need to stay with it. A little plant is easy to pluck up. Stay there and stay planted, bless God, and let some of us help you and weather the storm and have some stability.
Amen.
Have some endurance. Have some patience. Stay with it.
Amen.
Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season you'll reap if you faint not. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. In due season. Everybody say in due season.
In due season.
Turn and tell your neighbor, I think he's talking to you right now. In due season. You'll reap if you faint not. And the season is in the seed. There might be some things you can do to help it out, but the season is in the seed. If things take 3 years, you're not going to get it in 3 days.
Come on.
The season is in the seed.
Amen.
Amen.
Is that right or not?
I'm preaching, yes, sir.
When you plant something, you can read about it and find out what the season is. When is this going to come up? When should I expect a harvest? And then you tend to it. The season is in the seed. And God is the one that sees to it that you receive the harvest. But you're the one that sees to it that you tend to it and plant it and water it and cultivate it. Water it with the prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Weed out the doubts and the fears and the thoughts of unbelief and just continue.
Yes.
And so 3 days later, I talk to it every day. I'd say, you can't stay on my body. You've been cursed in Jesus' name. 3 days later, it was brown. No longer black. And then it got a little smaller. And 6 months later, I was picking at it a little bit. I reached back there and picking at it, and it just came off in my fingernail. Amen. Go ahead and give the Lord a praise. That's what works. And if I could encourage you and add to the encouragement of the Word of God that you've already been hearing here, that's what works, but you have to believe it and stay with it. And then when there's a special anointing in manifestation, and God is the one that is the source of that, then you can receive the special anointing and it will go into you. A healing anointing goes into you to drive out that which Satan hath wrought, and to effect a healing and or a cure. And you can believe that you receive it and that it's producing results. Amen?
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is that where I had you turn?
Yes.
Notice in verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. There that is again, temporary.
Come on.
The light affliction, this trial, this test, this heaviness. 1 Peter chapter 1. Talks about you're in heaviness for a season. It's for a moment, but notice it's working for you, not against you. If we would have the right perspective, if we would have the right attitude, we could count it all joy.
That's right.
If we would have the right perspective, if we would have the right attitude, then in everything we could give thanks. If we would have the right attitude and have the right perspective, we could maintain our joy, realizing the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
It's working for us, not against us. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we don't look at it.
Come on now.
Yes.
Do you see that in verse 18? How many see that? While we look not at the things which are seen. If you look at the things which are seen, it's no longer working for you. It's working against you.
That's right.
If you're considering it, worrying about it, believing in it, the storms that are contrary, the adversities of life, if you're just expecting it to stay and get worse, and you keep looking at it. Look how bad it is. Look how bad it is. I mean, when God said, "Let there be light," He looked out on the vast darkness. It was void and without form. That's what He saw. And He could have said, "Woo, it sure is dark out there."
That's right.
He could have said that because it was dark, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep.
Right.
And God shows up and He saw the dark, but He spoke the light.
Yes.
He didn't say what He saw. He said what He believed, and once He spoke what He believed, and then He saw it.
Hallelujah.
In fact, if you look at Genesis chapter 1, you'll notice again and again and again it says, "And God said, and 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 God said." But have you ever noticed the last verse of Genesis chapter 1? It doesn't say, "And God said." That last verse says, "And God saw."
There you go.
Somebody said, "I'm going to go back and look at my Bible and just look at that." All through Genesis 1, "And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said," and the last verse, "And God saw." You'll do more seeing of what you're wanting if you'll do more saying of what you're believing from God's Word.
Yes.
Don't say what you see, say what you believe, and it'll change what you see, and then you can say, "I said it. And now I see it." God said it and He saw it. So it works for you while you don't look at it.
Amen.
I know what it's like to go through a hard place. I know how the temptation is to think it's getting worse. And it pulls at you. You want to worry about it. It pulls at you. Thoughts like machine gun fire hitting your head. What are you going to do? 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 Situation came one time to me and the devil said, "Well, it runs in your family. Now you've got it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to? What do you mean it runs in the family? What family are you talking about?" The spiritual family takes precedent over the natural family.
Amen.
The supernatural family takes precedent over the natural family.
That's right.
My heavenly Father takes precedent over my natural father. Yeah. And what runs in my family is healing.
That's
what runs in my family,
right,
is healing and health and life and strength. And so I said I had to deal with those thoughts and that fear and fill my mind and my heart. So I know what it's like to have thoughts that torment you and pull at you. But you have to make a decision. I'm going to look at the Word of God. I'm going to look at the promise of God. Father, if there's anything I need to do to cooperate with you, faith works by love. I want to make sure my love life is right.
Amen.
Now that's a big statement right there. Good place for you to say amen.
Amen.
Some people are trying to get healed, but they're holding grudges with everybody that's ever done them any wrong at all. Can't get along with anybody. They're all the time fault-finding and criticizing and bad-mouthing. But they want, you pray for me. I'm just trusting God to heal me. Whatever He wants for my life, I'm just willing to receive. If He wants me sick and dead, that's fine. I'll just, but you pray for me. And if you're going to receive your healing, sometimes you have to get your love life straightened out.
Amen.
And forgive.
Amen.
Make things right.
Amen.
Can I have an amen, somebody?
Amen.
And so I pray that prayer. Lord, I need to cooperate with you. Deal with my heart. Is there anything that I need to do to adjust and deal with those thoughts? I resist that fear. Because it works for you when you don't look at it. The affliction works for you when you don't look at it. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Verse 18 says, for the things which are seen are temporal, temporary. It's a season.
That's right.
It's just for a season. The things which are not seen are eternal. God's word never goes out of season.
Amen.
Now you may be in heaviness through manifold temptations, but the trying of your faith, more precious than gold, though it's tried with fire, the trying of your faith works patience. Patience will have that perfect work, and you'll be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The season is going to change.
Yes.
You may be in a season of hardship, but it's changing. Maybe everything's going good for you right now. Well, watch out. That can change too. Your praise and your faith and your endurance and your, I mean, it ought to be based on God's word. Oh, everything's going good. That could change too. And let your stand be unchanged.
Amen.
Whatever happens, I'm going to stay with God.
Amen.
And in the name of Jesus, when the storms come, I'll speak to the storms.
Yes.
You can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair.
Amen.
I can't stop the devil from being here, and he may attack me. May, he's going to. But I can submit myself to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee. I can put up the shield of faith and quench every fiery dart. Is that what the Bible says? Not just some of them, not just most of them, not you can hope so anyway, but it says the shield of faith will quench every fiery dart. So whether I'm in a season of blessing where everything is looking good and all the bills are paid and the children are saved and everything's going good, or whether I see some adversity that's coming against me and the doctor says, I've got this sickness, or the banker, or the job. I can stand my ground and say, here's what the Word of God says, and the shield of faith quenches that fiery dart, and I can submit to God's way, God's will, God's service, God's presence, and resist the devil, and he will flee from me.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
How many believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. This is Resurrection Day, Resurrection Morning. Easter. Let's look at something about Jesus. What season was he in when he went to Golgotha? What season was he in when he was in Pilate's courtyard? What season was he in when he was brought before Herod? What season was he in when he went to Gethsemane? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Church, isn't that a wonderful place to look?
Amen.
Turn and tell your neighbor, he's talking to me right now.
He's talking to me right now.
We need to look to Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God for good examples in our midst. Your pastor, the ministers here, others that you can look to. But your perfect example is Jesus. Men will fail you. You look to people and you'll see disappointment because not a one of us is perfect. But thank God we can look to Jesus. We ought to follow them who follow Christ. Paul said, follow me. We ought to have examples. But the perfect example is Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who began it, and He's the one who's developing it. Finish there does not mean the end, per se, but it means develop. For example, if you're finishing some wood or some cabinetry or some carpentry, you have maybe the rough cut, then you have the finished cut. Or sandpaper, you might have rough sandpaper, then you have finishing sandpaper. And even maybe the varnish or the coloring, they call that finish. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Putting on the finish.
That's right.
And that's what this means here. He's the finisher. He's the perfecter. He's the beautifier. He's the developer of your faith. Yes. He is involved with your faith. That's why I tell people who are looking for healing, look to the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He wants you healed more than you want to be healed. He wants you to receive the blessing more than you want the blessing. And He'll help you. He's not there to hurt you. He's not there just to He's not playing dead. He's one called alongside to help.
Amen.
What's He doing in there? The Holy Ghost is in you. How many have the Holy Ghost? What's He there for? Is He just coasting through life? He's just hitchhiking? He just got a ride? He's there to help you. He's there to be your comforter, your counselor, your teacher. He's there to help you. And when you are in need, the Holy Ghost is there to help you receive God's Word and to adjust when you need to and to praise and to believe. And so listen to that helper. He's there. He's there. Involved with your faith. He wants your faith to grow. He wants your faith to receive. He wants your faith to develop.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
It's impossible to please Him without faith. Sometimes in our society, some things are too easy. We get it from man. We get it another way. God wants you to develop your faith, even in the small areas where you really could get it on your own if you wanted to. God wants you to develop your faith even in the small areas where you could get it on your own if you wanted to. But you just make the stand. I'm just going to trust God for that. I mean, when small things attack me, I don't go to the medicine cabinet first. We don't even have a medicine cabinet. Right. Really? I haven't had an aspirin even since January 1980.
Wow.
That's what I do. In the small things, the headache, the sore throat, the backache. What I do, now you do what you want, but I could encourage you and would encourage you. God wants you to develop your faith in the small areas. If you're not able to believe God to get a headache healed, it'll be difficult when cancer hits.
That's right, good preaching.
Amen. But if you're just starting out and you've never heard, then God has mercy and He'll heal you of cancer. And then say, now, what are you going to do about the headache? If the first thing you do is reach for the medicine cabinet, it's just too easy. If you have to take medicine, take it in Jesus' name. Mix faith with what you're doing. Mix prayer with what you're doing. Don't just say, well, the doctor has me on this blood pressure medication or this heart medication, and you just take it every day, like you've been doing for years. If you've never been taught or you've never heard the teaching or you've never thought to do this, start today. Well, I'm going to do that in Jesus' name.
That's right.
I'm just going to mix faith with what I'm doing. I'm going to mix prayer with what I'm doing. I'll go ahead and take that. The doctor says I need it. My body hasn't responded yet. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. I've planted it. It hadn't come up yet. And I believe healing's coming, but I don't have the harvest yet. But I'm going to take the medicine in Jesus' name. It'll work better for me.
That's right.
Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So we are to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross.
Glory.
On the cross, I don't believe He had a smile on His face. I don't believe He was laughing and just having a big time. But on the inside, He had joy. If you had looked at him that day on the cross, I don't believe there would have been a grin on his face. He could have done that. But joy is bigger than an emotion.
Yes.
It just is. Joy is bigger than the look on your face. It is. It is. Joy in your heart gives you the strength to endure even when you're facing hardness. Yes. Endure hardness as a good soldier. How? The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you lose your joy, you lose your strength. You need your strength to endure. Tap into the joy. Yes. Tap into the joy. Jesus had joy.
Yes.
But he didn't have joy because of the cross. He had joy because he saw what was coming.
Yeah. That's right.
He saw what was coming. Woo. He saw what was coming.
That's right.
Yes. That's right.
The resurrection was coming.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
He saw him fulfilling the will of the Father.
Yes.
He saw him bringing many sons unto glory.
Yes.
He saw himself being the captain of our salvation.
Yes, yes.
He saw his blood not being a covering for sin like the Old Testament blood, a covering. He saw his blood being the remission of sins.
Yes. Glory be to God.
He saw the plan of the Father being fulfilled and a family coming in.
Yes.
That brought him joy.
Yes.
With the joy of the future season, he endured the present season.
Woo,
the joy that came because he saw the season that was coming, he endured the cross.
Yes.
And this is what you can do.
That's
when
right.
You're in heaviness,
yes,
through manifold temptations, though now for a season if need be. 1 Peter chapter 1. Though now for a season, if need be, you can tap into the season that's coming.
Hallelujah.
You can look to see God's word being fulfilled.
Yes.
This is changing. This is a season. This is temporary. This is not going to stay. And I am going to have joy for what's coming. I'm going to endure the current season because of the joy of what I see that's coming. Blessed be God. Even what is in this season is working for me. If I won't look at it, if I'll look at what's coming, this is even working for me.
Yes.
But what's coming is not temporary. What's coming is eternal. What's coming is from my God. And it is coming. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.